Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome, Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Good morning, Bruce.
Top of the morning. How was your weekend?
It was good. I had dinner with some friends in the Lohi area. We don't get there as often as we probably should. Terrific Israeli / Mediterranean restaurant. It was fantastic. Watched a lot of games this weekend. And how about you?
Same. It was a low-key weekend. Worked yesterday, as I do on Sundays. But Friday and Saturday was fantastic. Low-key. Hung around the house. Got some things done. Got ready for football. Wasn't disappointed. Enjoyed the weekend and ready to go. Hopefully, we're a little closer to head coach. Alex has got his hair cut. Newly coiffed.
Yeah. I got a haircut, too.
Looking good. Yeah. Absolutely. So did I.
Wow. Zach.
Great mind.
Are you going to hit the Quinella and no haircut?
No, no.
Just the trifecta.
No. So anyway, ready for the week.
Okay, time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew. Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Get some tonight in Denver, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
Well, we had the conversation on Friday, and one of the questions we had was, will we have a list by 7 o'clock in the morning on Monday? And right now, the answer is no.
Nope.
Ownership group has been very tight-lipped on who's going to be coming in for a second interview, have been tight-lipped about how the interviews have gone. So tight-lipped, in fact, that when you look at the coaching search last year, not only did you have your traditional, we have completed our interview with so-and-so, and that's posted all over Twitter.
Right.
There were videos of the coaching candidates.
Sure.
We're getting none of that. With all of that said, ESPN's Jeremy Fowler is reporting Jerry Rossberg had an end of the season meeting with ownership, and he said, hey, I wouldn't mind being the head coach of this team. Fowler adds the ownership group appreciated the plan he outlined for the job and would consider it. Would consider it, to me, is the equivalent of patting somebody on the head and saying, nice job, thank you, we'll get back to you.
We'll
talk to you, but we're not really taking you that
seriously. Is that really surprising? That's not surprising to you, is it? You don't want to make it sound dismissive, but they're ready to move on to make a decision and to bring in their guy. I can't imagine under what circumstances Jerry Rossberg would be considered for the head coaching spot. You respect what he did. You're thankful for what he did. And maybe he carries a little more weight based on the 2 weeks, certainly, than he would have before then. But I don't think that he's a viable candidate. He's just not one, I think, that will be roundly considered.
If Jerry Rossberg was 45, would he get any more consideration?
I don't know. Because the fact that he's, 67?
What I'm asking is, if he was 45?
If he had the same level of experience and the same level of wisdom that he's gained from the experience, maybe. Yeah. Maybe, yeah. But, you can't have one without the other. You've got to have the years to have gained the experience.
Okay, so we believe that Sean Payton is going to be a finalist, right?
Right.
And with that, we will do our Rocky Mountain Forest product shout-out question as we do every Monday on the show. We believe that Payton is going to be a finalist. It was reported Dan Quinn was going to be a finalist before he had his first interview, by the way. The question is, who will be the other one or two guys?
Yeah, I don't know. Does Jim Caldwell sneak in? Is David Shaw, who got some run last week? How many finalists are there going to be? Are there going to be two? Are there going to be three? Are there going to be four?
I think that David Shaw kind of came out of nowhere for a lot of people. Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay. He's got a close relationship from what we understand with Condoleezza Rice and both of the Penners.
Yes.
Just a gut feeling here. and this is more inside baseball, inside media stuff. And if you're listening, you know who you are. I think that the Penner Group has tried to keep this pretty tight lip, pretty air seal tight. But something did leak out. I don't know why they would leak this out and not leak other things out. If David Shaw is not a finalist, he might be. But if he's not, somebody's job might be on the line. Now, this is all inside baseball. This is all inside media. Nobody outside of the media really cares about this. Wouldn't surprise me if the Penners are trying to find the leaker. So if David Shaw is not a finalist, how did that get out there? Just a thought.
I don't know. Or I do. And
I think we all kind of know who the leaker is.
No one wants to be a leaker.
Nope.
Nope.
And some organizations plant stuff to see who the leaker is.
Ah. Wow. Now we're really getting into subterfuge.
Right. But with that, I think we know who the top two guys are going to be. Let me say this about D'Amico Ryans. The only way he does not get a second interview is if he said to the Penners, here's my coaching staff. And they looked at his coaching staff and it looked like Nathaniel Hackett's.
Which probably wouldn't be a stretch, would it? Really? If you stop to think about it. Because all those guys, well, I would imagine, maybe not all of those guys, maybe you can find some examples, but a lot of those guys are going to go with guys that they know, guys that they've chatted with, hey, if I ever get this, we're going to do this together, that kind of thing. We're all hurting and smarting from it because it didn't work for Nathaniel Hackett. So I don't know. I don't know about D'Amico Ryan. I don't know. I would imagine that he probably would be in that group, but when, they can't talk to him this week.
Right. By the way, yesterday's 49ers-Cowboys game, both defenses look really good.
They both showed out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Pretty excited to potentially get one of those guys.
Why not, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they've proven they can do it at a high level, and they've proven that they can do it consistently. Cowboys have been fantastic defensively for 2 years. 49ers have been fantastic defensively and more for 2 years.
And oh, by the way, for Quinn, he kind of changed his defensive philosophy a little bit last year to this year. Yes. We're only talking about a base defense here. They play all kinds of defenses, but their base defense, from what I understand, from last year to this year, is a little bit different for the Cowboys. So Quinn can do it a couple of ways. D'Amico Ryans was fantastic.
No question. I like adaptability.
Yep.
You love versatility.
Yep.
You love different ways of doing things. And these are all things that are part and parcel of the decision-making process. I would imagine these are things that are all taken into account. The process, and I mean, we're never really going to know the whole process, are we? I don't think that we're probably going to be privy to that information. Who are we going to sit down with and say, how did you work this out? How did it happen? I just would really like to know, even now, as they roll into this second, especially now, I guess, as they roll into this second round of interviews, what are the things that are going to tip the scales? What are they?
Well, I think that comes down to if Sean Payton doesn't take the job.
So do you think at this point it's Sean Payton's job to turn down?
I think that Greg Penner has his sights set on the biggest buck in the forest.
Okay.
And then all the other bucks are pretty much the same size to him. He wants the big home run hire. No?
I guess, but I don't know what makes me think that. I mean, I haven't heard Greg Penner say, we are going to make a splash. He's never said that.
He doesn't have
never.
To. Never. He doesn't
I guess
to.
Not, right?
Yeah.
Right? So
I think that there is something to be said for when you are a millionaire, billionaire, there's a healthy ego to go along with it.
Sure.
Listen, it's not as if Sean Payton doesn't have some credentials to him.
Everyone would take Sean Payton virtually.
Right.
Right. At this point.
Right.
So Sean Payton is the no-brainer. Everybody looking for their new head coach is going to at least think about or try to get Sean Payton to interview.
David Shaw is not going to be Sean Payton's offensive coordinator.
No.
I don't think David Shaw is going to be Dan Quinn's offensive coordinator. If Jim Caldwell, I don't think he's going to be, or not Jim Caldwell. Bottom line is, I don't see a spot for David Shaw in this organization unless he's the head coach. For David Shaw, his last 4 years at Stanford,
mm-hmm.
I understand NIL plays a role in it. I understand that transfer portal plays a role
sure.
in it. But it was dreadful.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Okay, you're not inspiring anybody with this head coaching hire. Not to mention, he's never been a head coach at this level.
No.
Okay? All the boxes are checked why you shouldn't hire him. So he's a finalist?
Well, I don't know if he is a finalist or not. Don't know.
According to Mike Liss, he might be.
Well, he might be.
Well,
we'll see.
He's the dark horse. You already have your... Listen, Kliss put it out there. And by the way, what I said earlier...
Okay, well then...
What I said earlier, this is not on Kliss. I'm talking about the person that told it to him.
Okay, but he... But on one hand, we're talking about the necessity of a big splash.
Yep.
On the other hand, we're sitting there talking about a guy that you just said checked no boxes.
Yep.
Possibly being a finalist. So which is it?
Well, he wants the big splash.
Well, then.
And if he doesn't get it, he goes to the guy who's comfortable with.
Hmm.
You think he's really going to listen to George Payton, who wants Dan Quinn? I don't think for a minute that Penner truly trusts George Payton and his opinion. Do you?
I think that he will make the decision.
Yeah.
I think that I do think that he will. He seems to me to be a guy that is going to be at the line of scrimmage. Check with me. I think he's going to get as much information at the line of scrimmage that he can get. And I think that smart guys identify those people around them that they can trust, whatever that level of trust is. But ultimately, he's going to make the decision based on what he knows. At the line of scrimmage.
If you're going to be pragmatic about it,
mm-hmm.
there is absolutely, positively no reason that Jim Caldwell does not get a second interview. None. Checks every box.
Every box.
Turned around teams.
Right.
Really smart offensive guy.
Right.
You said you wanted an offensive identity. Really good working with quarterbacks.
Couldn't agree more.
Absolutely should be a finalist.
Would be one of my three finalists.
Over David Shaw. So don't tell me David Shaw's in for a second interview and... Jim Caldwell is not.
But my point is, David Shaw is thinking totally outside the box.
Yeah, really outside the box.
Way outside the box.
What? It's way outside the box if you don't have the relationships. But if you're buddy-buddy with the guy, that concerns me. Because you know who got in trouble the last time he hired his friends? Nathaniel Hackett. Coming up after the break, Joe Burrow, man, I love this guy. Not because of what he does on the field. I've said this for years about him. He is Joe Namath. All steak.
Just better.
All sizzle. He is a perfect combination. So we know what he did to Allen yesterday and the Bills. If you don't know, we'll tell you what he has done to Patrick Mahomes. When we talk about the best quarterbacks in the league, are we leaving the guy out who should be at the top of the list potentially? That's next.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back, Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileEyeSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed. At Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for the wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP. Com. In the meantime, if the siding and the windows on your home need a makeover, I got a suggestion for you. The only place you should work with, Paramount Siding and Windows. It's a family-owned business, been around since 2009. When you're around that long, you know that they are doing something right. They have over 400 five-star Google reviews. That's for starters. You know that their customers love them. Here's something else. They have a terrific showroom in which you can check out your window, your siding, options, as well as phantom retractable screens. Super cool. See what those are all about. You can go to their showroom or you can get a free in-home consultation. And here's something I really love about Paramount. They will do any size project. You need one window done, they'll do it. You go to other companies, they want to do all your windows. It's about bulk for them. It's about how much money can they make. They're not just going to do one window for you. At Paramount, they will. They treat every single client like they're their only client. That's the way it should be. Treat your home to a makeover today at ParamountSidingAndWindows.com and let your neighbors see the Paramount way. I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but I got a question for you.
Well, don't drag me into it.
When you do your research for the show,
yes,
how often do you go to the Denver Post?
Fairly regularly.
You do? Do you go to them for breaking news?
No.
They have a lot of great guys on that staff.
Oh, my God. Fantastic.
Some really good writers. Yes. But I went there last night, and I'm thinking, why am I going there? I'm not going to get any breaking news about the Broncos coaching
staff. I don't care, but yeah.
That's important.
It is to you, and that's great. That's fine.
But hold on.
I like depth.
Good writers.
Yeah,
I'm talking about breaking news.
I didn't know that it was breaking news.
That's what I want to know. We're starting the show at 7 o'clock today. Listen, we have our own sources. It's hard to unearth stuff with what's going on with the coaching search. But there was a time when I was here that you would go to the Denver Post for breaking news because you knew their writers had stuff. The writers are good, really good guys. But I'm thinking the Denver Post is no longer a source anymore for breaking news. For finding out information that we don't know. And you and I work at it. Yeah. I have found out some things, but I went there before the show thinking, okay, maybe they have something on who the finalists are. Nothing.
No. I haven't seen anybody that has anything on the finalists.
I would agree. But in general, does the Post break much stuff? If anything?
Yeah, I guess,
they are the paper of record in this town.
Yeah, I guess I don't judge them by that.
For me, when I want stuff, when I am looking for stories and things that I don't know, there's certain people that I look to. Unfortunately, there's nobody I look to at the Post for that stuff. And it's unfortunate because that's not the way it's always been. Usually it's your newspapers that break stuff because you have beat guys there all the time, right? Wouldn't you think that?
Well, they're there all the time.
So how come we're not getting breaking news?
I don't know.
They have really good columnists. I'm not trying to slight the paper. I'm saying what has happened where we don't get serious information from.
Get serious information. We just don't get breaking information to the level that you would like to see.
We get game stories, and they're really well written, and they're really good. What I'm saying is, isn't the role of a journalist to break news? Yeah.
Okay.
That's what you hang your hat on, don't you? Not really nice flowery puff pieces and good game stories.
I think the role of a journalist has changed. I think social media changes everything.
No, there are more. Listen, I would agree that there are more people out there as competition. But for as much as we want to, for as much as people want to poo-poo the dot-coms, the dot-coms do the same thing as the Denver Post. What can separate the Denver Post with their cachet? Breaking news. And they're just not doing it.
Well, okay. We're down a rabbit hole. And my deal is very simple on this. News gets broken, and sometimes it's even right. But there's a lot of times that you got to dig a lot harder to make sure and to verify. Because we live in a get out the first punch kind of culture right now. And you can't always, there are some sources that you can look at, and I know that you do tirelessly, that you know are going to be right and that you are confident are going to be right. But there's a large percentage of stuff out there when it gets floated that you got to do your due diligence on, and you've got to verify, man. You better make sure that it is coming from the right place. And here's also my deal on breaking news. Where's it coming from? Who are you getting it from? Are you getting it from agents? And it can be all of the above, but what are the agendas behind the breaking news? This is also part of my problem about the way that news is gathered today. What is the agenda? Does it come from a team? Does it come from a play? Who knows? But there is, no one's out there saying, you know what, I'm going to make Alex's and Zach's and Bruce's and Eric's life a little easier and just be a good guy and give them some information. There's always method to the madness. Always. There's always an agenda. Anytime that we get breaking news, I think. Now, maybe at the national level with guys like Schefter, who we all know are getting information from the teams directly. We get that. That's a little bit different. Adam Schefter's reporting something. 9.5 times out of 10, it's Hoyle, right? I don't know. It bugs me a little bit because I think it's made, on one hand, it makes your life a little easier. On the other hand, it can make it harder because sometimes you've got to dig that much harder to verify sources.
I am not looking for somebody to do my job for me.
Right.
Okay. There are a lot of things I'm very familiar with this coaching search that I don't feel comfortable talking about on air because it is single sourced. Make sense?
Right.
So I'm not going to talk about it on air.
For those of you that don't know, we generally operate in a place where we double source
most
reports.
Okay. Correct. So with that, as a radio sports talk show host, no one would ever look at my job and say, it's your responsibility to break news. Would you agree?
Agreed.
Okay. I'm not really a journalist anymore in theory. I'm a commentator. That's what I do.
You're still pretty deeply rooted, though.
I'm rooted in it, but in theory, that's not my description.
Okay.
When you are a beat guy for a team, I'm sorry. That is your job. That is what you should be doing, is breaking news and finding out things and getting things that other people don't have. If you don't, then you're nothing more than a story writer post-game.
Okay.
Or you're nothing more than a guy or gal who sets you up. Here, let me give you the last time I can honestly remember a journalist at the Denver Post. And I'm not saying they're not journalists. I'm saying somebody who broke stories. Nikki Jiavallo was all over the ownership situation with the Bolins. By the way, now she's at the Washington Post.
Oh, yeah.
But I digress. Right. You'd get information from Nikki that you didn't know and say, wow, that's cool. That'd become a topic on the show.
No question.
When is the last time we cited the Denver Post as a source for something we talked about on the show? We haven't. I don't know how the Denver Post is being run. I know it's being run poorly. Just ask anybody who works for the Denver Post. They are more than happy to volunteer that information. But it used to be back in the day that your paper of record broke stories. That seems to be something that has happened such a long time ago, it's not even in our memory anymore. There was a time when Kliss was there, broke stories. Troy Rank was there, broke stories.
Sure.
When Troy was with the Rockies and the Broncos, he broke stories. Nikki Jiavallo broke stories. Lindsey Jones broke stories. Where are all the story breakers in all the sports?
I think Ryan O'Halloran did a good job on occasion.
He's gone.
He's in Buffalo now. Parker Gabriel's in his first year handling the Broncos beat. I think he's damn good at what he does. May not fit. I don't read everything out of the Denver Post.
I don't know what the point. So, listen, if you want to read a provocative article, yeah, you read Kisla. You read Sean. I get that. But again, where is the information? Mike Singer is a friend of mine. I love Mike. I think he's a terrific writer. Okay?
Yeah.
It's impossible to break stories out of the Avalanche. I've been in this market for nearly 20 years. Nothing leaks out of there. The covering the Avalanche is where journalism goes to die. Because you will never get anything out of that organization. And that's a foregone conclusion.
Lower body injury.
Right.
Right.
I mean, I can't imagine. I can't imagine it's too hard to get stuff out of the Rockies organization with all the dysfunction there. Somebody's got to be willing to talk.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
The Broncos, it's not hard to get information out of there. We're in the locker room all the time.
Right.
All you have to do is talk to the players. If you have a good enough relationship with them, they'll tell you stuff and you can put stuff out there.
Okay. So what's the point? So what are we talking about?
I'm saying I'm disappointed that the Denver Post is no longer the paper of record in this town to break news.
All right.
That's it.
Okay.
It's disappointing to me because I went on there last night. I'm thinking, why am I even here? And I'm thinking, because I thought, well, maybe they'll have something on the coaching search. There was nothing. Zero on the coaching search.
I don't think there is anything on the coaching search right now.
Well, if your job is a journalist, if your job is to break stories,
mm-hmm.
you find a way to unearth it.
Yeah.
Coming up after the break. What a game for Joe Burrow yesterday.
You love him, don't you?
You do.
Now swag.
Now the question is he possibly the best quarterback in football?
Wow.
No one ever mentions him as the top quarterback in football. But let me put it to you this way. Undefeated against Josh Allen in the playoffs, mm-hmm. and he's never lost to Patrick Mahomes. Why isn't he the best? That's next. Again. The need you bury deep. The secrets that you keep are at the ready. Are you?
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle. Presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us at MyLifeSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending, presented by Silter Har Mazda. Get to Silter Har in Broomfield for a no-pressure buying experience at Silter Har Mazda, or find them at sthmazda.com.
Every time something comes out of Joe Burrow's mouth, it doesn't, to me, come across as cocky and arrogant. It just comes off as a matter of fact. When he was asked about the Bengals championship window, he said, "It's always open as long as I'm here." I don't think he was trying to, you know, start a fire. He was just being very matter of fact. When he was asked after the game about the AFC Championship game potentially being at a neutral site between the Chiefs and the Bills. Buffalo Bills,
right.
He said, "Well, you better send in those refunds.
Yeah, better go get the refunds."
Very matter of fact. I don't think it was even planned. Burrow is now 2-0 in the playoffs against Mahomes and Allen. He has never lost to Patrick Mahomes. I understand it's a team game. Why aren't we talking about Joe Burrow as being the best quarterback in football? Because most people would say, oh, it's got to be Mahomes or Allen. Just look at that talent.
I think that Joe Burrow's been in that conversation.
No, he's in the conversation. How come he's in the conversation, but no reasonable person would ever say, if I had a season with a guy, I'd rather have Burrow over Mahomes. Very few people would say, I'd rather have Burrow over Allen. Because you just look at the talent that those guys have. And I'm talking about physical talent.
I would be quicker to say it with Allen, only because Josh Allen throws so many interceptions. But
this year he did.
Well, he's actually done it for, I mean, go back and look at his last 3 years. They all look virtually the same. He's thrown 62-63%, which is fine. Throws for a lot of yards, throws for a lot of touchdowns. Josh Allen's a hell of a quarterback. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying anything.
Right.
He does throw a fair amount of interceptions. But I will say this, Mahomes to me is on another level.
How come he can't beat Burrow?
Well, I mean.
Well, he hasn't. I'm just stating a fact.
How come he can't beat Burrow?
He couldn't
so
beat,
it's
he,
mod, so like is so is it an arm wrestling? Is I mean so is it like arm wrestling or?
Well, when we talk about quarterbacks, I mean, when we talk about who the best is, well, at the end of the day, it is kind of head to head, isn't it?
Well, I guess it is kind of head to head. Although I get
not fair, but it's
I
true.
Get a, I get kind of a chuckle out of that because it's really not head to head at all.
I understand it's not, but at the end of the day, it's whose team won the game.
I think that Joe Burrow. I think your premise is slighting Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow has been, I think Joe Burrow's in the conversation.
I think he's in the conversation.
I think he's been in the conversation, hasn't he? Or not?
Is Joe Burrow ever even in the conversation for MVP?
No,
he's not. He's not in the conversation for MVP.
No.
And he's not really in the conversation as being one of the top two quarterbacks in football. This year, people would say Mahomes, Allen, Jalen Hurts. I mean, those are the guys that come to mind.
Well, then, I don't know. That suits your argument, but I disagree with your premise. I think Joe Burrow's been right there. I mean, we've talked at various times on this show, and Joe Burrow's name has come up.
If you're starting a team next year, do you want Mahomes or do you want Burrow?
Mahomes.
If you're starting a team, do you want Burrow or do you want Josh Allen, a guy who does everything at a very high level, running the ball, fierce competitor, his teams win, rocket of an arm, makes plays. Who would you rather have for next
season?
That
would be a tighter argument.
But I'm just saying, who would you rather have?
I don't know if I can say that definitively.
Most people, I would say, would take Josh Allen. What I'm saying is, why isn't Burrow being more strongly considered?
Hmm.
Something else to consider. How did Burrow do yesterday? And I remember we made our predictions for the game. And I said, man, I would take the Bengals and the 5.5 points all day. I changed my mind. You know why? He was missing three offensive linemen, three starters, yet still went basically untouched. Sometimes the quarterback makes the offensive line, Russell Wilson. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes that happens. And we saw Joe Burrow on display yesterday. Missing three offensive linemen, making really good decisions, getting the ball out quickly, following the game plan that was drawn up for him, and he was barely touched, barely pressured. That is an intangible we don't talk enough about. When Patrick Mahomes had a leaky offensive line, we saw what happened to him in the Super Bowl. When one of the biggest problems going into this season for the Bengals was their offensive line. Everyone said they have to find a way to beef this up. Well, they did. And then when the playoffs hit, at least for yesterday's game, it was back to the same old Bengals offensive line, yet Joe Burrow navigated it beautifully.
He's got great weapons, and he is a great talent.
Josh Allen has great weapons, too.
Mm-hmm.
Gabriel Davis is fantastic. Fantastic. He's really good. Of course, you have Stephon Diggs.
Diggs, fantastic.
You have two really good runners of the football.
Knox is a fantastic tight end.
So whose talent would I rather have? Honestly, it's kind of a toss-up.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, Patrick Mahomes lost Tyreek Hill, didn't even skip a beat.
Nope.
When it comes to offensive talent, they're all kind of on par with each other.
As long as you put a quarterback in a system that allows him to use his talents in the best way. That's the key. And the Chiefs altered the way that they do things from a standpoint of stretching the field this year. I mean, that takes a quarterback, A, that's willing to do it.
Right.
Right? That recognizes, hey, we got to change this up a little bit because we don't have the fastest man that's ever played football on the outside anymore.
I think what we are learning, although maybe we should have known this already, the coaching really matters far more than people think.
Sure.
Okay. What was the most maligned unit for the Broncos this year?
Offense.
Offensive line.
Oh, you mean, yeah, the room. Right.
Offensive How did the offensive line look over the final two games when Butch Berry was out and you had a new play caller?
Much better.
Right.
Ran the ball.
Right.
Funny how that works.
Right. Well, but you have to be able to run the
ball.
Yes,
you do.
You have to stay committed to it.
Mm-hmm.
I give the Bengals coaching staff a ton of credit.
No question.
I don't think their defensive coordinator is getting enough credit, honestly, for the work that he does. He's not even up for a head coaching job. You look at the Philadelphia Eagles. You can make the case they have the top coaching staff in football right now.
You can make that argument.
Because in 2 years, less than 2 years, their two coordinators will have head coaching jobs.
Although I am going to be, I'll be contrarian and say it's the Kansas City Chiefs until they're going to their fifth straight AFC championship.
Oh, I would not take Eric Bieniemy over Steichen, and I certainly would not take their defensive coordinator Spagnuolo over Jonathan.
Okay,
Gannon.
Well, here's my rebuff to that. When the Eagles have been in the NFC championship for three straight years, mm-hmm. or even one straight year,
right?
Get back to me.
Okay, get back to me. If the Chiefs beat the Bengals, because if the Bengals go to Arrowhead again.
I hear you.
To Arrowhead. Andy Reid.
I am comparing the Kansas City Chiefs mm-hmm. going to the AFC Championship game mm-hmm. for five straight years
right.
compared to the Philadelphia Eagles, who you say has the best coaching staff in all of football. You may very well be right. It's difficult for me to judge that maybe as fairly from afar. I need to see it a little. I'm more familiar with the Chiefs, but I do know that the Chiefs have been to five straight AFC championships.
Let me just throw a little curveball into this. We talk about how great the 49ers defense looked with D'Amico Ryans mm-hmm. in a win. You talk about how good the Cowboys defense looked in a loss with Dan Quinn. I saw a lot of people bitching and complaining. Why isn't Leslie Frazier getting any head coaching opportunities? He's been a head coach before.
Yeah.
He thoroughly got beaten down in yesterday's game. He had zero answers for an offensive line missing three of its starters.
Yeah, Buffalo lost.
They were embarrassing.
Buffalo lost that game on both fronts.
Yes, they did.
They did. I mean, trenches were the difference in that game. No question.
And by the way, the most interesting comment, which was absolutely true, was Brian Daboll has had a great year mm-hmm. saying, I was outcoached by Sirianni. And he was right.
Yes.
Daboll, Giants head coach, was absolutely outcoached by the Eagles. And I'll just put a tease out there right now. The two best quarterbacks, and this is what's going to be so fascinating about the Super Bowl. The two best quarterbacks left are in the AFC. The two best teams left, top to bottom, are in the NFC. I'll be curious to see which team wins the Super Bowl. It's an any given Sunday thing, and I get it, but my money will always be on the team. Whoever comes out of the NFC, to me, that's your Super Bowl winner if you played 10 times.
Interesting.
We'll talk more about that later on in the show, or certainly later on in the week. What do we have coming up on Just In Case You Missed It?
We'll recap the weekend it was for the Nuggets and Avs, and what did Rockies GM Bill Schmidt have to say about putting together this year's roster? That's next on Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle on Mile High Sports.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. Reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to MountainHighAppliance.com.
Alrighty, just in case you missed it over the weekend, the Nuggets blew out the Indiana Pacers on Friday night, 134-111 without Nikola Jokic. And then last night, the 16-game home winning streak came to an end as the Nuggets were without Jokic again and Michael Porter Jr. and lost to the Thunder 101-99 as Denver really struggled from the free throw line, only hitting 17 of 33 free throws. Your impressions from the Nuggets games over the weekend without Jokic in the lineup?
He's got a hamstring, apparently. I would like to know how serious that is, or whether we're just getting him some time off before they head to New Orleans, Milwaukee, and Boston coming up this weekend.
I think Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. Yeah,
that's
going to
be,
yeah,
that's
on Saturday afternoon, right?
That's going to be a must-watch game, as you have two Titans at the same position battling it out for the MVP award.
No question.
Because I remember last year, and they only played twice last year. The final time they played, the game was in Philadelphia. Embiid had better numbers, but the Nuggets won the game. And I think that was the moment, because the Nuggets won, that helped Jokic win the MVP. Even though statistically you can make the case Embiid had a better game.
I would agree with that. Absolutely.
Winning the game is going to go a long way to see if Jokic wins it.
How do you shoot 51% from the free throw line in the NBA? All these guys ever do is shoot. They shoot, and they shoot some more. 51%?
With the way this team has been playing lately, ordinarily, I would say, just goes to show you they're not consistent enough. Every team is allowed a night off.
You're absolutely right.
They have put enough equity in the bank with me that I'll just call it a bad night.
That's what 16 straight home wins can do for you. Yes. So we give them credit where it's due.
All right, just in case you missed it, the Avs stayed hot over the weekend, getting road wins at Vancouver on Friday night 4-1, and then over Seattle on Saturday night 2-1 in a shootout victory. The Avs have suddenly won five consecutive games, with the last three coming on the road, and they've got solid goaltending lately from Alexander Georgiev and Pavel Francouz as well. How are we feeling about the Avs' recent play?
Pretty good. Five straight is their longest winning streak of the season. They had won four in a row three different times. But they are in their hottest streak. Are they all the way around the corner? Well, I mean, they still don't have Gabe Landeskog. They're still dealing with, you know, they're still dealing with some key injuries. But it's been a perseverant effort to get to this point. Now they've got, what, three straight games at home this week. They've got a chance to really, you know, to get this thing really going here this week.
While there is no set limit on it, you're only allowed to really have a couple of team meetings a year. They had one recently.
They did.
And what have they done since the team meeting?
5-0.
There you go.
Was that after the Blackhawks game?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, man. Five wins in a row. They're rolling.
Back in the playoff picture.
Yeah. All right, just in case you missed it, Patrick Saunders of the Denver Post tweeted that he had chatted with Rockies GM Bill Schmidt a couple days ago, and Schmidt said, while the Rockies are likely done putting together their team, they will keep looking for depth pieces and pitching. The Rockies' free agent signings this winter have included keeping Jose Urania on the team.
All right.
And then signing reliever Pierce Johnson.
Yes.
Along with adding a Brent Suter. What are your thoughts on these comments from Schmidt?
Well, they also traded for Connor Siebel, the AAA guy for the Red Sox,
right,
for a player to be named later. The guy's okay. He's a AAA guy, you know, 26. Red Sox signed Corey Kluber, I think, and they had to release him off the 40-man roster. I mean, the Rockies are fifth in a five-team division, and that is where I would pick them this year. Fifth in a five-team division.
Listen, Rockies fans, Zach Veen is coming. That's all you need to know. That's what they're holding their hopes on. Zach Veen and anybody else coming up. Just to put this into perspective, Brendan Rodgers was taken in 2015. He finally put together a pretty good season, mm-hmm, 8 years into being a pro. 8 years. The plan is draft and develop for as long as you possibly can. Brendan Rodgers is a classic example of that. So we might have to wait 8 years for Zach Veen, but we'll see. That's the plan.
Fifth in a five-team division.
I got to tell you, it is so aggravating and quite frankly sickening with what they have not done and what they think they have done. They're going in with the same team than they had last year.
I'm with you.
If they put together their prospectus for 2023, it should be titled Hope. We hope things will happen, because that seems to be the game plan almost every
year. And we always know, and we know how hope works out as a plan.
That was Mountain High Appliance. Just in case you missed it, you can try out the appliances at their stores. You can't do that in the big box stores. Their sales staff makes a huge difference. These are people who have done this for their career. You go to the big box stores, it's nothing more than a job to them. You're going to get the best advice if you want to redo your entire kitchen. You need something to fit your budget. Mountain High Appliance, you can find them in Louisville, Littleton. You can also find their clearance center in Denver. Coming up after the break, we learned yesterday that somebody really, really wants the Broncos head coaching job. And it's not the usual cast of characters we've been talking about. Who is it? That's next.